I will call to order the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Public Safety. Colleagues, today is May 27th, 2015. We're convening for the purposes of a work session on House Bill 5032, the Oregon Military Department. Linda, would you like to tee anything up for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. Your materials are on OLIS. They include a work session memo, a LFO 102 recommendation, KPM, and amendment. So I'll start with the work session memo. The Oregon Military Department's recommended 2015-17 budget is $25.3 million general fund, $98.4 million other funds, and $256.7 million federal funds. That is a general fund increase of 15.8% over the 13-15 legislatively approved budget, and a total funds decrease of 10.9%, mostly due to transferring the seismic rehab program to Oregon Business Development Department and eliminating federal equipment refurbishment that we'll talk about later. I'm moving now to your fifth page and the work session presentation report. And that would be, I think this, we'll start on the sixth page. That's the administration division. It is the first of seven divisions that we'll cover today. It has a total funds budget of $6,972,125. That's a 5.1% increase over the 13-15 legislatively approved budget. And there is a single policy package, 801. It makes reductions due to scant available general fund. It eliminates one position, one FTE from the command group, shifts funding to 100% other funds on a part-time position in public affairs for a total of a $113,243 general fund reduction, $14,893 other funds reduction, and it also reduces services and supplies by $88,203 general fund to switch from the state motor pool to the federal. The next division is operations. It's the second of seven. This is the division that provides facility support for operational readiness in one very short sentence. The first package is package 201, Air National Guard Fire Protection State Funds. This package funds fire and emergency services support for the gap between federal cap and bargained pay for the Air National Guard missions at the Portland Air National Guard Base and the Kingsley Field Air National Guard Base in Klamath Falls. Recent changes in federal requirements have capped the amount of federal payroll reimbursements at a level lower than the amount bargained by the state in 2013. The impact is $1,390,116 general fund and an equal, full funding. Package 203, the Umatilla Caretaker Agreement, continues 23 limited duration positions to fulfill a caretaker agreement with the U.S. Army to support functional activities at the Umatilla Chemical Depot. The agreement is expected to last until 2018. There's a federal funds impact of $6.5 million, and the 23 limited duration positions, 23 FTE, are reinstated for 15-17. Package 801 is added to fund shift one position, a principal executive manager E, from 75% federal funds and 25% general fund to 100% federal funds for a general fund reduction of $48,482 and to reduce general fund services and supplies by $18,558. The general fund total impact is minus $67,040 and the total package is minus $18,558. Finally, package 802 was added in light of new information about lead levels at armories with indoor shooting ranges. The Forest Grove Armory was closed in January 2015 after a National Guard Bureau survey revealed high lead levels on, do you want to know the page?
No, yeah.
Mine isn't numbered.
Thank you.
18 of
sorry.
Ours.
18 on ours.
Page 8 of 18.
Thank you.
Yeah, and page 12 is what it says on the bottom of yours. Okay. Yeah. So that we found high lead levels on surfaces in the building from the indoor firing range. Also, the fire suppression pipes in the armory have failed, and there's a total of $1,881,600 is needed to repair this, of which half is federal funds, the other half general fund match. And it will end up cleaning the firing range and converting it to storage, replacing contaminated ventilation ductwork, and replacing fire suppression pipes above the ceiling. Other This says other armories with indoor fire ranges have been closed. That's not true. Other armory indoor firing ranges have also been closed and tested, and to date, no other armory appears to require this level of abatement and cost. The general fund impact, $940,800, equal federal funds for a total of $1,881,600. Package 803 was added to recognize the federal...
Mr. Chair.
Wasn't it?
So, Linda, there's 9 indoor ranges. One needs work on. The other 8 couldn't accommodate those logistically or geographically. Is that true?
The indoor firing ranges are, if you want to talk about it, I'm happy to have you come to the table and do that. But they're not looked upon favorably by the federal government, although there's not necessarily a plan for what to do about that. So for the moment, the indoor ranges are closed.
Co-Chair Shields, Co-Chair Williamson, members of the committee, I'm Dave Stuckey, Deputy Director for the Oregon Military Department. Co-Chairs, Senator Wisnett, to answer your question, there are 12 indoor firing ranges. Of the 12, we have tested all of them, and we're doing internal fixes on all of them except the Forest Grove Armory. And that turned out from a design function as well as the legislative fiscal staff. Ms. Gilbert said was a sprinkler system issue, and so that's where our biggest risk is right now.
My follow-up is so we have 12 and one is not acceptable.
That's okay.
The other 11 are acceptable, do not have the lead problem. But my question is, are we drawing down? Do we still need, you know, the spend $1.5 million to rehab that one? It's a problem.
Co-chairs, Representative Wisnett, reflect back here the question. Of the 12 that we have, we anticipate that we will permanently close 8 of them. Those 8 are the older ones. We anticipate that the 4 newer ones we will be able to retain and keep open. Over the course of the lifetime of these armories, bullets have changed. The velocity of bullets have changed, and how we deal with lead has changed. And so the newer ones, Springfield Armed Forces Reserve Center, the Anderson Reserve Center, and 2 others. Our intent is to keep those open. The other 8, we'll shut them down. We'll repurpose, turn it into storage space. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, thank you. I misunderstood. I thought it was saying that we had 9 indoor, and one was bad. We were going to spend a lot of money on that one, but you're saying we're not going to have but 4 indoor ranges left.
Yes, sir. And we Forest Grove Armory is closed down. There is no one in that facility, and all the unit actions have been moved to Jackson Armory out at the Portland Air National Guard base.
Okay, but one of the 4 is what we're spending the money on to eliminate the lead problem, or is that additional?
No, sir. Forest Grove Armory, we intend to, once we clean up that problem, we intend not to reopen that facility, that indoor firing range facility, sir.
Thank you. I didn't understand. I apologize.
Let's keep proceeding.
Package 803 was added to recognize the federal phase out of the Readiness Sustainment Maintenance Site effective November 30th, 2014. The site was responsible for equipment refurbishment. The drawdown of military troops in the Middle East reduced the amount of military equipment that needed refurbishment. The program may be started up again by the federal government, but it is not currently foreseen. And this information came too late to get into current service level for the agency. The impact is minus $30,927,771 in federal funds, 64 positions, 64 full-time equivalents. The next division is Oregon Emergency Management, coordinates statewide emergency services and communications, and provides planning, training, and technical assistance for disaster preparedness, emergency response, recovery services, and hazard mitigation. Package 301 addresses statewide next generation 911 implementation, provides 500,000 other funds from 911 tax expenditure limitation to enable the division to proceed with one portion of the next-gen 911 conversion. It supports DAS Enterprise Technology Services, coordinating the conversion of existing frame relay system to an internet protocol broadband network at all 43 public safety answering points. There is also a budget note attached to this. So the package, that provides $500,000 is phase one. A budget note directs preparation for the second phase of NextGen 911. It says the Oregon Emergency Management, OMD, is directed to work with the Oregon State Chief Information Officer, OSCIO, to produce a next-generation 911 GIS project plan for the collection, management, and sharing of geographic data sets and geographic information systems capabilities required to effectively implement next-generation 911 throughout the state of Oregon. The next-generation 911 GIS project plan is to be submitted to the Legislative Fiscal Office in December 2015 and jointly presented by OMD and the OSCIO to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology and to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means during the 2016 annual legislative session. There will be an opportunity later for you to vote on the recommended budget note. Package 801 was added to capture general fund savings. Services and supplies are reduced $93,284, and the local disaster assistance loan and grant account is eliminated, and that amount is $283,250 for a total of $469,818. The next division is community support, and this division provides educational opportunities for at-risk youth through the Oregon Youth Challenge Program. There are no policy packages. There is a capital construction item that we'll talk about later. The next division is capital debt service and related costs. There is, again, no change from CSL. Additional debt service, if it's needed, will be in the close of session bill, and it depends on decisions made by the capital construction subcommittee. The next division is capital improvements. It has a total budget of $4,964,976, and this is for projects of in amounts that are less than $1 million. It is mostly federally funded. There is one package that was added to provide limitation to use Heritage Outreach Foundation funds to enhance a federally funded capital project to relocate and restore Building 6100 at Camp Withicum to its historic structure as the Quartermaster Supply Building. The building, as restored, will be used as military museum display space. And this amount is $194,377, other funds, and that's Package 801. Capital construction, final division, there is one package. It included limitation, the agency requesting limitation for a new Joint Forces Headquarter building, $6.7 million, other funds, Article 11 Q bonds, and $18.46 million federal funds. It was not in the governor's budget due to siting concerns, but those concerns have been mitigated by means of a wetland and land conditions study. It would be near the Anderson Readiness Center. There is a package, an item for expansion of the Oregon Youth Challenge Program facility, $4,977,000 Article 11 Q bonds, and a regional training institute package in Umatilla, $6.5 million other funds from Article 11 Q bonds, matched with $5 million of cash from the sale of the current regional training institute building at Western Oregon University campus. In addition, there is new federal fund match available for projects that had already been approved in Baker City, $750,000, and Medford, $1,943,648. A May 2015 request for the Military Museum seeks $2.1 million in federal funds capital construction limitation for 2013-15, the current biennium, and $613,163 other funds capital construction limitation for 2015-17, for refurbishment and rehab of several museum areas. The other funds are a donation, again, from the Heritage Outreach Foundation. And then finally, OMD is requesting capital construction limitation for planning and pre-design work on 2017-19 projects. It's $136,281 other funds and $140,000 in federal funds. So while we do not make a recommendation per se, the LFO would recommend that the Joint Forces Headquarters, the Youth Challenge Program, and the Regional Training Institute and Museum projects would be recommended for Capital Construction Subcommittee members' consideration. If bonds for the Joint Forces Headquarters construction were sold in 2016 and 17, the 2015-17 general fund debt service would be about $434,850. bonding for the youth challenge and regional training projects could occur in the spring of 2017 without jeopardizing either construction schedule. Also, the National Guard Bureau would need to approve new operational funding for increased staff for additional students if that is approved. And that's slightly different from what you have written there. They don't have to approve the project, but they would need to fund additional staff for additional students.
Linda, what would the interest be there, debt service?
It would be in 17-19, and I don't have those numbers with me, but there wouldn't be any in 15-17. There would only be, and that's if the Joint Forces Headquarters is approved, then that debt service would be 434,850.
Okay. Thank you.
Time for a motion.
Senator Bates.
A couple quick questions. Some of us have been extremely interested in the Youth Challenge Program as something really should be doing, and Frank, I put it ahead of the rest of this. Sorry, Colonel, you probably kill me for saying that. In my understanding, in my memory, this may be faulty. It's been a couple of months since I looked at this. You weren't able to break out what the general fund cost would be for just the Youth Challenge, $5 million roughly, but we can look at that later. It has to go to a capital construction anyway to see if they're going to prove it. We'd push hard for that.
Yep.
My memory also was that the school district that supports this was only passing through partial fund per student, mm-hmm. and it was a pretty big chunk they were taking out of. I could see taking out 5 or 6, 7% for administrative duties, but they were taking a bigger chunk than that, if I remember correctly. And I would expect that if that district was instructed to be a little more fair with this program, there'd be funds available not only to continue the program through the National Guard and with an expansion, because with each student they get more money, but also it might be able to cover the debt service on this as we go forward. I don't know if those numbers match up or not, but it's worth looking at. If not, I think it's a good form of a good way to spend general fund money to help the youth in this state, which is a huge problem for us as far as teenagers are getting in trouble and not getting all their education. So I just want to support this program and expand it if at all possible. It's a great way to do it. The money is available through K-12 funding. We have to put some general fund money up over the next 10 or 15 years to pay for increased facilities. I'm there. But others may feel differently on this committee.
Senator Winters.
Madam Chair. This has been one of my priorities since 1999 to expand Youth Challenge. It truly is a premier program, and it truly is one that we should be investing in, whether it's through general fund or ADM weighted. And you are correct that the percentage that, I believe it's Prineville, that school district.
Denver Pine, Senator.
Yes, that Denver they Pine. Do, I do believe the rate administrative overhead is probably more than most charter schools and what have you. But having said that, I don't want to jeopardize this expansion. And the work that, because it took us a while, a lot of years, to be able to develop that working relationship with them. And so, you know, for me, like I said, this has been something that I have been pushing and have been very glad that we've actually gotten this far. And also, I believe that it's 87 that we're looking at, the number of, that the expansion, am I correct? And it also provides an opportunity to increase the capacity for young women to be enrolled. So, you know, I certainly am a very strong supporter and strongly support, you know, going forward with this package.
Well said.
If I could add, when the question came up about the Van Lapine School District's administrative charges, the agency responded in writing, and we got it posted on OLIS, that there is a robust relationship there, and so it seems okay.
All right. Okay. Please continue.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendations under House Bill 5032.
Representative Williamson has moved the LFO recommendation into House Bill 5032. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection?
Clarification.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is the vote on the money, not the capital construction project.
Correct.
Okay, just the budget.
Just the budget.
Thank you.
Any objections? Seeing none, so moved.
I'm ready to move to the KPMs. On the second page of the KPMs, the LFO recommendation, there are four parts. KPM number two, the percent of armories in adequate or better condition. I recommend changing the target from 50% to 80% in view of recent assessments. KPM number three, revenue generation from available armory time rented. Change the target from 60% to 40%, again, in view of recent experience, which is actually closer to 28%. Fewer organizations are in need of renting armories than used to be the case due to competition with other rural venues. KPM number five, the percent of 17 and 18-year-olds completing GED or high school diploma in Youth Challenge. Substitute a new KPM to measure the percent of accepted cadets who complete the program and receive a GED, high school diploma, or earn 8 certified credits and return to their home high school. The target is 85%. The current KPM omits some of the students by limiting the targeted population to only 17 and 18-year-olds. And, oh, you need the page again?
Yeah, no, the which KP?
KPM number five.
Number five.
Oh, the one we're changing, okay.
Yeah.
Ah, she tricked us.
The old one is gone, and there is a new one that is proposed.
So we want to substitute new to measure percentage. Does the department have any comments on that, Linda, or Mr. Chair?
Would you like them to come up?
No, I was ask Linda.
It was.
I had to go through you. Remember?
There.
Can't talk to her directly.
Feel free.
It was the department's request to make this change because they didn't feel that they were, or they knew that they were not counting the entire population that they could count that was getting services from Youth Challenge. So by only having 17 and 18-year-olds, they were leaving out part of the population.
Maybe the department needs to clarify, or Dan could come up, because they have some that just get back enough credits to get back in high school, and that counts as a success, I think, right?
I don't think it was, and now it will.
Okay, that was...
That gets added, too, I believe.
Co-Chair Shields and Co-Chairs Williamson, members of the committee, I'm Dan Radabaugh from Youth Challenge Program. Representative Wisnett, the way the KPM was written before, we were only measuring 17 and 18-year-olds with the diplomas and GEDs. We were excluding all 16-year-old students who were earning credits, successfully completing the program, and returning to high school.
And this allows you now to, Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes, please.
This allows you to count those that earn enough credits to get back in school. So it gives you a bigger pool to count to. So. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Clarification.
On KPM number nine, customer satisfaction, change the overall target to 75% from 55% in light of recent responses, which have been more positive.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
Representative Williamson has moved the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Linda.
The next section in the memo is about the budget note. Page 25 of your materials on OLIS has all of the context leading up to the budget note itself. And the budget note was read into the record when we were on that section of the budget. So,
Mr. Chair, I move the recommended budget note.
Representative Williamson has moved the LFO's recommended budget note. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Linda.
The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget of $25,317,919 general fund, $98,352,463 other funds, $256,707,616 federal funds, 446 positions, and 403.01 FTE, and that House Bill 5032 be amended accordingly. The content of the Dash 1 amendment, Section 1 is general fund. $4,877,671 for administration, $8,973,062 operations, $1,855,317 for emergency management, $197,381 for community support, $9,414,488 debt service. In other funds, additional limitation for admin is $2,094,454 for operations, $4,751,092 for emergency management, $89,105,319. Community support is $2,101,207. Debt service is $106,014. And there's a new section for capital improvement, $194,377. In federal funds, the limitation for operations is $81,658,100 for emergency management, $161,858,274. For community support, $8,420,643. And for capital improvement, $4,770,599.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to adopt the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 5032.
Representative Williamson has moved the LFO recommendations to adopt the Dash 1 amendment into House Bill 5032. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5032 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson has moved House Bill 5032 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I would just like to say that I am so pleased with the department's responsiveness, even when they've decided to put projects outside of my district as priorities. But I think I can certainly speak for the whole state and let you know how much we appreciate your service to the state and the country, and the great relationship you have with North and Northeast Portlanders specifically. So, and I'm very excited about Youth Challenge and that going on to the Capitol construction. I appreciate everybody's strong advocacy on that. So, any other discussion?
Mr. Chair, this when the vice chairs carry it to the co-chairs, the big co-chairs, the state's pretty embarrassed, I think, hopefully we are, about our graduation rate. And this is a small number, but this is a good number to bring these kids back from the, or to help improve that dropout rate. So even though it's, you know, two classes a year, so that's, you know, 200 kids, but that's 200 kids we wouldn't have in affecting that rate. Thank you.
Yeah. Good comment. Anything else? All right. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so moved. Carriers?
Carriers.
Senator Winters would like to carry on the in the full and on the floor. It's a House bill.
We can't carry it for him.
Does it have to be a House carrier in full?
No, anybody's on full.
Winters can carry it.
We can't carry it from the House.
Senator Winters will carry in full.
And in the Senate.
And Representative Barker for the House. Okay, anything else that we should know about our future, Linda?
Your future is being built
moment
as
by
we
moment.
Speak. Yes.
Do we have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow?
Better hurry. I ain't got much time
yes.
left.
Yes, we have two policy bills tomorrow, Senate Bill 128.
Do you know what more?
House is going to be on the floor tomorrow afternoon.
2:30.
Did not know that.
Nathan Gladstone.
Thank you.
We'll
figure that out.
We'll work it out.
It's public hearings only on two policy bills.
Then you don't have to be.
You don't need us.
What could go wrong?
I have something else for the good of the order, Mr.
Yes.
Chair. The bill that Representative Evans brought, he's working an amendment on that, and hopefully the public safety people will look at that standards and training and look at that and see where they can fit in. I talked to him. There was a couple of correspondence between the Police Academy and Representative Evans and me about the issues they had with that. So the way he proposed it was, I don't think, going to work, but he's got an alternative. They mentioned the apprenticeship, and he's presenting that idea back to them, and if they can accommodate that, then whatever. But so it's not, it probably won't be ready to, they could have the amendment back, but I don't know if he'll have to coordinate a lot of them yet.
Good, Mark. And as long as we're discussing other bills, there was quite a bit of concern about the fingerprinting bill. So if I think a lot of us were looking towards the House, particularly those associated with law enforcement, for some guidance. So feel free to share your comments offline with us to help inform our decision making. All right. Anything else? So it's adjourned.
Program is voluntary. Good to see you, sir. Take care.
If you're the caretaker, and you're helping, me and my neighbors, how about working there? You have to caretake.